This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
A $650 million bridge linking western Wisconsin with the Twin Cities opened to the public this week. As Rich Kramer reports, the completion of the mile-long St. Croix Crossing caps a decades-long battle between the river's environmental legacy and the need for better infrastructure in one of the fastest-growing parts of the state.
It's opening day for this towering span of concrete spires draped with thick white cables. On a stage in the middle of the eastbound lanes, a group of strange political bedfellows cut a red ribbon celebrating the bridge's completion. Republicans Governor Scott Walker and Congressman Sean Duffy were seated next to Democrats Congressman Ron Kind and Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton. Walker called it a striking example of the bipartisan support for a link connecting St. Croix County with a straight line shot into the Twin Cities.
This really is cooperation. This is cooperation between federal government, state government, local government, between the private sector and the public sector, between Minnesota and Wisconsin.
The crossing has five concrete piers with cables holding a roadway 110 feet over the St. Croix River. It replaces a cast iron two-lane lift bridge built in 1931, often in disrepair. Some local commuters would say the Depression-era structure was in such bad shape they'd unbuckle seatbelts and roll down windows to swim out in case of collapse. It took supporters more than 20 years to get the St. Croix crossing. Many at the ceremony gave credit to a New Richmond banker named John Soderbergh for lobbying endlessly for it.
I started over in Wisconsin going up and down and saying that we need to do something about this bridge. And at that time, Minnesota had not said anything. And then after a meeting in 1992, they said, can we join you? And I said, yes, the more the merrier, and there's going to be a lot of work with it.
That proved to be an understatement. The St. Croix is federally protected under the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act, so when plans for a replacement bridge came out in 1995, Minnesota's North Star chapter of the Sierra Club sued to block it. Then a mediator was brought in and a group of 28 stakeholders began hashing out differences. But Minnesota Sierra Club director Margaret Levin says their smaller, more environmentally friendly bridge designs were dismissed.
We felt that those options were never really taken seriously. And so we saw through the process the continued proposal for a large highway expansion, which is how we view the St. Croix Crossing.
The group sued again in 2007, putting the St. Croix Crossing on ice once more. Frustrated, supporters went for a long shot. If they could get a congressional exemption, bridge construction could begin. After intense lobbying, the St. Croix Crossing exemption won unanimous approval in the Senate, and in February 2012, Republican Congressman Sean Duffy made the case to the U.S. House.
There is no appropriations aspect, there's no budgetary authority. All we're doing is deeming this bridge consistent with the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act.
The House voted overwhelmingly for the project, and President Barack Obama gave his signature days later. By comparison, the 5 years of construction seemed like a flash in the pan. From the shores, residents eagerly awaited its opening, as did building contractors in Wisconsin. Eric Allen of New Richmond says the anticipation of a new bridge and an improving economy have driven home building in the city.
Compared to a couple years ago, it's probably 10 times the amount, you know, new construction.
8 hours after the St. Croix Crossing was dedicated, it opened to traffic. An air of excitement hung over thousands of cars creeping along the well-lit deck in bumper-to-bumper traffic. John Soderbergh was asked what he'll do with his time now after spending 20 years pushing for the bridge.
I don't know. If I said I wanted a glass of brandy, that'd be all right, wouldn't it?
That'd be all right.
Okay.
Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.